Nicely with Martin Bester.
The whole Zama Zama activity very much in the news in South Africa right now after that horrific thing that happened. Eight or nine women gang raped at close to a mine shaft, well, where Zama Zama operations are known to happen. And I can't get my head around that. Now, of course, the police in the last week have now arrested like 100.
Yes.
100 now.
Yeah.
Okay, fair enough. Graham, and you say it's very much, you know, gangs operating. They've got territories. They are highly organized. I mean, they've got lots of weapons and things. And it's a whole underworld, like their own ecosystem almost down there. The trade that happens there, because they go down there for weeks at a time, you said.
Absolutely. It's a lifestyle. It's a scary lifestyle.
Yeah, I'm
but
sure.
But they go down there, and it really is very, very organized.
So when this production crew, the story that got us talking about all this, and that's very much in the news still, when this production crew went there to that specific site, where is it? It's
West Village, just outside of Krugersdorp CBD.
Just outside of Krugersdorp. So they thought they're going to shoot a music video. They took these models. They went there, as you say, for whatever reason, because it'll read nicely on camera, mm-hmm. whatever the case may be. Mm. And then what happened? They were busy shooting, and then all of a sudden, where did these men come from?
So what I've seen in those areas surrounding there is that they typically have spotters,
okay.
which are guys who are part of their security teams, sitting up on high ground
yeah.
around the mine dumps, keeping an eye out for police, for rival gangs,
okay.
etc.
And what do they do? How do they call them?
They'll whistle. So when we've driven into those areas, you often hear, when you get spotted, you'll hear the whistle start. And they whistle to each other to let each other and the other members know
oh.
someone's in the area that shouldn't be or something's going
yeah,
on.
Yeah, yeah. You don't see them, you hear them.
You hear them. Oh. And then suddenly, in an area where you can see for kilometers, there's bush, you haven't seen anything, suddenly large groups of men start appearing in the bushes around you.
What?
So if you look at the initial reports and what we know in the public domain so far from what happened to that crew, that's what they said happened. They heard the whistles initially. Some men approached, fired guns into the air apparently, and the next thing it was just more and more people arriving there. So from my experience, I've seen that kind of thing. They typically do that, the whistles.
And then when they do come out, I mean, I'm picturing this, it's like
a
movie, you know, horrible. When they do come out, how intimidating are they? How dangerous are they? If you're in their area, in their territory, I mean, you're a producer for Carte Blanche, you've got cameras with you and stuff, you go in there, are they intimidating? Are they dangerous?
They are, and specifically the guys who work there.
Yeah.
Know which areas are really hectic.
Okay.
So, and that's again, it's between those rival gangs. So some of them are really just doing their work there. We'll try and find out which those areas are and try and speak to those guys.
All right.
But there are other areas you cannot approach them in a vehicle. If they don't know who you are, if you're driving up there in a vehicle, you will get shot at.
Really?
Yes.
Have you seen that?
I've seen that. I've spoken to people who it's happened to. It's really, really scary.
So how do you guys go in there?
A lot of negotiation, sources, speaking to people, and typically speaking to the Zamas and going, listen, guys, we know what you're doing is illegal, but we want to tell your side of the story as well.
Okay.
There are associations fighting for or lobbying government to legalize artisanal mining.
Okay.
And they see themselves as artisanal miners. They don't want to be referred to as Zamas. They don't want the stigma of the crime that is with them.
Mm.
They want to legalize and try and work like that. So yeah, it's just it's typically South African. It's such a complex issue.
Do you go in an armored vehicle?
We've been in. we actually did a show, for Carte Blanche, a while back, a few years ago in the Northwest, where we went onto a mine that was being raided literally every night.
Okay.
Zamas were coming in groups of there. We had footage of groups of 200-300 people at a time.
What?
Armed guys with. They had bulletproof vests.
What?
They had hunting rifles with scopes on.
Oh.
We had a guy in the headgear, which is the big gears, you know, you often see on a mine, the high tower that
yes.
lets the lift out.
Yes, yes.
We had a guy in the headgear sniping at us. And that night, and we got it on film, we filmed it, we used it in the story, we were literally traveling in an armored vehicle, thank God, and were shot at.
Right.
Bullets hitting the, and for a second I thought they were throwing stones at us.
Yeah.
And the next it's actual bullet holes hitting the glass next to you.
So we obviously understand now very well, sadly, how hectic and barbaric and you said just now, someone used the word demonic. Some of them can be, right? I mean, going in there and doing that to the women on that shoot. We now know how hectic it can be. Are there things that we don't know? I mean, how hectic is the rivalry? How serious are they in defending their territory?
You will see, and it's in areas on the East Rand next to the N12 highway and Pitfontein off ramp.
Yeah.
You'll often see every few months bodies being left next to the side of the road. And those are Zamas who are killed underground, and they get the Zamas themselves bring them up, put them in sort of, it's grain bags, you know, that they use to store grain, and they'll cover them nicely in the whole body, and they'll literally leave them there on the Pitfontein off ramp. And they sometimes even, I've heard that they write notes and say, this was so-and-so, please let his family know.
What?
Gosh.
But that is, and it's not a, it's literally every few weeks you'll see in the local newspapers there that that's happening. That's also the same off-ramp, and that's what's scary about the Zamas. The violence has started, the last 10 years that I've been covering stories for Carte Blanche on Zamas, the violence has grown exponentially.
Really?
And it's now overflowing and it's hitting innocent people.
Yeah.
So in 2019, you had that terrible incident on that Pitfontein off-ramp where two youngsters who had run out of petrol, their vehicle had run out of petrol, had stopped on that off-ramp.
Mm.
And Zamas who were crossing, because it's a very big illegal mining site right next to the highway there as well, who were crossing back to the area where they lived, I don't know what happened there, but they shot and killed both those youngsters.
Netsua.
So it's
can I just ask you a question quickly? I'm just wondering out loud, and this is like sheer speculation, but these people that go missing, that we never ever hear of, like the police searches for them for how long? Could they end up down there?
Definitely. We spoke to a woman in the Northwest again, a mother.
Yeah.
Who was told that her son had been shot by rivals and thrown down a specific shaft. And the shaft is so deep, so dangerous, because it's also an abandoned shaft, that no one can go down there and go fetch them. Not mine rescue services, not the police. No one's going to go find that body down there. So you don't know how many bodies are down there. But if you speak to them, you'll often find out that they will tell you. They know where the people are.
Yeah.
And I've said this many times on the show. That bothers me so much. That we know, they know, people who live there know. Why aren't we doing something about it?
Yeah.
So then the police must know.
Yeah.
Are the police scared of them?
I have a lot of sympathy for the police, but I also believe that we should be doing a lot more.
Well, we have to. Listen, Graham, we don't have a choice anymore.
We don't have a choice anymore. I agree with you, Martin. Yeah. But to send two constables in a normal police van into an area like that is that's scary.
Yeah,
so
the
typical night they might hear about, the residents might say, that, listen, we're hearing gunshots. How can you go into this open piece of land filled with these guys and expect one police vehicle to go and respond to that?
Yeah.
You know, and they're not armed. What we've seen now is police going in force.
Helicopters
and Nyalas.
Hundreds of
you name it. Yeah. That's what you'd need. But now, how do you patrol that? We can't have half of Joburg's police force.
For sure.
Sort of patrolling these abandoned areas.
Drones.
I agree with you, and there should be a lot more.
We'll find a way. Quickly, a couple of messages and comments coming in, Graham.
Waar kry daai Zamas, hulle AK's vandaan en hulle gewere vandaan, sonder dat enigiemand agterkom?
So, an important question.
One of the biggest problems I think we face in South Africa is the illicit guns. Where are they coming from? So, and there's many answers to that. Again, a complex question. Some of them have been brought in cross-border. Gangsters thrive on selling and dealing in guns. You've got arms dealers. We know that the police have been implicated in a lot of guns have gone missing from from police custody. So guns are one of the biggest problems in this country. Illegal guns in the hands of criminals.
One quick more message.
Ons bly naby waar die hele incident gebeur het met die 8 vrouens. Waar ons huis is reg agter ons is ou myngronde. Ons was al daar wat daar is 'n geskettery was, laat ons in ons erf moes platval op die grond, soos wat die bullets oor ons koppe gevlieg het. Ek kan nie aan een beskryf waardeur ons elke dag gaan nie, wat ons moet sien nie. Ons het al gesien hoe loop hulle met lang wapens in die strate op en af. Ja. Dis baie keer soos 'n ou western movie waarin jy is.
It's just terrible. Absolutely horrific. Sorry that you have to see that. How do you even explain that to your kids? Nou, Niri, who buys the stuff that they mine? Where do they take it? Do they sell it locally, overseas?
So, illegal gold sort of falls into this whole big illicit money flow.
Yeah.
And a lot of it's cross borders. So, when you speak to law enforcement, they have, as part of the illegal gold trade, they see people in certain levels. The Zamas are tier 1 or level 1 operators, right at the bottom of that food chain.
Mm-hmm.
But it goes up to level 5s and level 6, who are people who are buying up all the Zama gold that's illegally crossing our border from Zimbabwe, and selling it for millions, if really? Not hundreds of millions of rands. Mm-hmm. The Zamas are really at the bottom of that food chain.
You've seen more of this than anyone sitting here anyway, and possibly listening. Do we have a chance at getting it under control?
I think it's unfortunate that it takes an incident like this again to see, and that's what we've said, but I really do think it's going to take a lot of work and some very clever minds, people that have... that know this industry. There's a lot of NGOs, government, police, and possibly even the army, to work together to sort this problem out.
The actual mines and mining companies, can they not play a role? Whoever's mine that was?
They often do. They try their best. And I've actually been to mining areas where the mines have given up fighting with the Zamas and are literally...
Operational mines.
Operational mines where... They are rather sort of structure some kind of deal with these guys. You guys stay off our land, stick to your side, and we won't send security after you, that kind of thing. Where that becomes easier to do than work with police and get into gun battles with these guys.
Who knew that there's this whole other world happening around us and under us?
Literally underground.
It's fascinating, it's scary, it's shocking. And we've spared you some of the more shocking details in how gruesome it does get. It's not like you haven't heard the most gruesome of it, with what happened last week. But there's so much more to tell. It's shocking and also interesting at the same time to hear about this whole ecosystem underground and how they do it and the trade that happens there and everything else. I think you should write a book.
Yeah,
I agree.
Thank you.
That's certainly something I want to look at. please do, Graham. I'm glad that you're still here to tell the tale for what you guys do there at Carte Blanche. I've said it to Derek and Debbie back in the day and everyone I ever speak to there. Amazing, fearless, brave work that you do to inform us and to share what you see there. Sometimes and often you put your lives and your bodies on the line. Your families must be petrified for you sometimes. Mm. Thanks for sharing it with us. Yeah. Thanks for doing that.
Guys, thanks a lot for having me on the show. And as the Carte Blanche team, that's I can promise you it's a bunch of people that are just passionate about telling South African stories.
Excellent.
And putting these things in the spotlight. Thanks for helping with that.
We'll keep watching. We'll keep asking.
Yeah. Yeah, awesome.
You keep telling us the stories. Graham Kutzer, Carte Blanche producer, all about the Zama Zamas. We'll podcast it for you as well as you weer gaan hoor of wil deel met iemand.
With Martin Bester.